I wanted more, I've wanted less than all you've given me. You gave your all by laying down your life on Calvary. So I surrender all, Lord, my best to you I give. And thank you now for giving me a reason to live. You're all I need, all I need. You're the Lord of everything, all I need, all I need. This is why I humbly sing. Your strength is sustaining, as your grace has made me free. You're my heart's lone desire, you're all I need. You're all I need.
I want to thank you, church, for your kindness to us and for all that you've done throughout the years, and especially on this trip. I'm glad to have my family with me. At least part of them are here. My wife Lisa and daughter Abigail with me, and thank you for the gifts that you've given to us, the hotel, the meals, the fellowship. We've truly enjoyed everything that you've done, and I know Daniel wishes he could have been here. He's in his second semester of Bible college down in Oklahoma City at our alma mater, Oklahoma Baptist College. And enjoying that. So just been a blessing to be here with you this weekend. We've truly enjoyed it. It's a, kind of a rare thing. My family hasn't been here. I believe we figured it out. It's been 15 years since the rest of them have come. And I was here last furlough by myself, 2012 it was, in October. And told you about something you'll see on the video. And you had a part in allowing us to help a ministry in Uganda at that time. And so just so many good memories that we have here, and we appreciate your faithfulness, appreciate your work to reach your area. We just praise the Lord with you at what the Lord has done in this place. What a tremendous place. We've just enjoyed it, enjoyed being with you. Thank you for your investment in our lives. Someone asked me, how did you get from Montana to Uganda? I was born and raised in Montana. And that's a good question. I began to have many thoughts about eternity. I was telling the Sunday school class I was with this morning, and when I was in engineering college in Butte, Montana, it gets cold there. I think it's cold here. I saw it 40 below one time in Butte up in the Rocky Mountains, and so that was quite a place. But as I went through engineering college, I learned what I did not want to do with my life and began to have questions about what I should do. And began to see that my life was falling short of the ideal I'd grown up to believe and understand. And I wasn't saved, I went to a Lutheran church. So I knew some facts about the gospel, but I'd never personally received Christ. And I went to a missionary on our campus. He had a Bible study, and I'd gotten to know him for a few months. And I asked him about the future of America in prophecy, and he said, more importantly, what about your future? And he said directly, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I didn't have a good answer, and he knew it. And so he started with Adam and Eve and preached the gospel to me and revealed to me that I was a sinner by nature. I was born that way, but also by choice. And I began to understand why I had fallen short. And he showed me the solution, that Jesus Christ had died for my sins, was buried and rose again from the dead to justify me and give me eternal life. And I received him December 7th, 1992. and had Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I began to pray, Lord, what would you have me to do? I started to read the Bible, saw where Saul was asking the Lord that question, and I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And 8 months after I was saved, an evangelist came from Oklahoma City. He taught at Oklahoma Baptist College. Preston Bunnell was his name. He came to Montana for a one-time meeting, basically, had a big tent revival. And I drove by going to work one morning and saw that place and knew I needed to be there. So I went. And you say, well, how did you go to the mission field from Montana? Well, it was one step at a time. And I'd been praying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he preached on Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. To me, that was the next step. So I simply went forward and laid my life on the altar. I said, Lord, it's yours. I give it to you. It's now you to determine what happens with it. And the Lord led me then to follow that team back down to Oklahoma City to attend Oklahoma Baptist College. I'll tell you, that was a steep learning curve from, full scholarship, engineering college, all, Liberty, whatever, to Bible college. And Coca-Cola gave me the 40-hour scholarship. I worked there 40 hours. They paid for my school bill. And it was a great learning curve, but it's exactly what I needed. And that's the whole point. The Lord knows exactly what we need, step by step, to lead us in His way. And the Lord sent Pat Creed to our church to preach at a missions conference in 1995, and I surrendered to the mission field. And later on, the Lord directed us to Uganda, a little country right on the equator, East Africa. There was a missionary already working there by the name of Keith Stensis. You've met him and you know him. And so we began to raise our support, and we came here, I believe 1999 it was, and you took us on for support. And we went to the field in February of 2000, 19 years ago, next month. And I preached in Brother Keith's church, had the opportunity, the unique opportunity it was for me, to work then with another missionary family as a team. And we've been doing that ever since. But I preached my first Sunday at his church, and James Sebiota was sitting about right there. He was a visitor that day, and so was I, so I didn't know any better. And I preached on coming to Christ, and he came forward to the altar. There were no altar workers, so I just stepped down there and said, what did you come for today? He said, I came for what you said. I need to receive Christ. I need to come to Christ today. And so I showed him from the Bible how to receive Christ, and he did. That was 19 years ago almost, and he's still with us today. It's a blessing to see how the Lord leads us step by step. So we had a ministry of the gospel. We took the gospel to Uganda and preached the gospel. I saw people saved and saw God begin to work in their lives. And it was a blessing to work with Brother Keith through all those years. I taught in the Bible college, which was in English. And we were able to train men in the national language of Uganda, which is English. In the church, there were up to 5 languages present at any time. And so it was difficult to just pick one to preach to people in, but English was mainly understood, and so we've stuck with that through the time that we've been in Uganda. Sebioto came to the Bible college and began to learn and grow, and he, in 2009, he felt the call of God to go to another place and take the gospel himself to another place. He went to a town called Lukaya, and in Lukaya, it's a rough town, a trucker town. He biked his way out there about 20 miles. Got to town, gave this testimony. He said, I'm sweaty, I'm tired, I'm looking around saying, what have I gotten into? Have you ever been there? But the Lord gave him grace, and he began to preach the gospel to people, and people got saved. Someone invited him into their home, and he based out of their home for some time. And eventually they started a church in the front yard of that home. And the church is still there today. Sebioto reached a young man by the name of Robert, and began to teach him and train him to serve the Lord. Robert only knew Luganda, which is the local language of our area. It's one of 40 languages across Uganda. But Luganda is very prominent all across the central region where we are. And Robert got saved. He began to serve the Lord, and he got married and had a family. And he had an interest in pastoring, and so eventually Sebioto turned that work over to him as pastor. Now, he really, in the midst of that, really wanted the same training that Sebioto had in English. There was no option. We didn't have it in Luganda, the local language. And so Brother Keith had an idea this last term. He said, let's begin the Bible college program for these local language speakers. And he called it a Triennial Bible Institute. I'm sure he told you about it when he was with you. But for 1 week, three times a year, men come from all these village settings and they come to that central church and they receive the Bible college material for one full term in a week. And they get it translated in the material. They have it in their language. They hear it in their language, interpreted that week. And if they continue with that program, they can graduate the Bible college in 6 to 8 years. And we have some men now that are beginning to get to the end of that. It's exciting because that's the language of the people. That's the language of the villages. And that's where 80% of Ugandans live. And so to reach them where they are with men who don't have to learn the language, don't have to learn the culture, don't have to earn the trust of the people. They already live there. That's their village mates. They know them. It's a blessing to see that. And it's a real key, I believe, to reaching our area of Uganda with the gospel. And so we've been able to see that come to pass, and it's been exciting. Brother Keith now has a ministry where he goes and mentors these men in these 12 areas. They send from 50 to 75 men every TBI to learn that material, take a full term of the Bible college in a week. And he is now working to help these churches get established. It's also given us an opportunity to step back and do some of the things you'll see in the video. These are four projects that the Lord's put on my heart to work at this next term. And so as we look ahead at what we'll be doing this next term, we'd ask you to pray for us and think about these things. If you have any questions about anything, if we have time in the service, we can do that. Or afterwards, as we talk in the back, feel free to ask us any questions you might have about that. But it's just exciting to step back, and now the ministry of the gospel has become a ministry, you might say, to the saints. These men that are reaching their own people. And it's a real blessed opportunity. It's taken years and years. And when you just watch and wait, when it begins to happen and these men begin to answer God's call, it's exciting and it's a real blessing. And so we've been blessed to do that. Let's go ahead and watch the video at this time and look at this next term.
We are the Peterson family, missionaries in Uganda since 2000. The theme of this furlough is Revamp and stands for Rightly Equip Village Assistance Ministry Projects. Revamp is a verb defined as revising, revisiting, reviving, or revitalizing something to make it like new again. We are seeking to equip ourselves before our next term to revamp four areas of ministry in Uganda. This will allow us to help 12 church plants that we work with at this time. First, we want to revise. We are seeking to revise the scriptures and other materials in Luganda. In English, the scriptures were translated from the Textus Receptus Greek into the King James Bible in 1611. Later, the English scriptures were revised to accommodate two main corrupt Greek texts. The Luganda Bible was influenced by those corrupt texts. We desire to revise it to match the Luganda with what it says in the King James Bible. We have done the books of John and Romans so far, and will continue as the Lord provides.
This Luganda Bible misses out several scriptures that are found in the King James Bible. The need for a translation of the Bible from the King James Bible.
This goal also includes the proper translating of many resources for preachers in Luganda. About 3/4 of our Bible college material is now translated. The second thing we will encourage in the ministry is to revisit. We will revisit soul winning of the lost. In 2012, several of our supporters gave money to help us purchase and maintain a boat and engine for Pastor Paul. He goes to the Sese Islands monthly and works with Mattia to revisit many fishing villages, preaching the gospel and handing out literature.
Well, I want to thank the supporters for the blessing of their boat because we are able to reach more different islands and landing sites with the word of God. Four to five fishing villages, because sometimes I spend a complete week using the boat traveling on water. So By God's grace, sometimes we may cover 5 villages. Hiring a boat was quite expensive, but now we can use it anytime we need it. It would be important because the new converts need discipleship so that they may grow spiritually. Secondly, that's when we can come to know the faithful members. Then for them to stand with them and encourage them. Then through going back there, we may realize that we need a church. We need to start a church in that place. Visiting those places regularly, we can come up with an opportunity of reaching new people that we may share the gospel with them according to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20.
The third area of importance to revamp in Uganda is to revive. We will seek to revive saints with living hope. Sometimes we as saved people get lethargic and need to be restored to vigor and activity. This happens through the stirring of our faith as we read the Bible and pray, fellowship with other believers, and hear preaching, teaching, and singing of the truth. Truth is the source of our hope, which is a feeling of expectation of good. We seek to move people from facts to faith to feeling. When we focus on the truth of the Bible, we live actively and expectantly, and we are brought into a state of usefulness. We walk in revival. Revamping Uganda begins with reviving hope in a living God amongst God's people. The fourth area is to revitalize. We will be a part of revitalizing sites of local churches. To revitalize is to make something vital and living again. Vitality and life are the things that give the church power to accomplish the Great Commission. Bringing life to a church through their involvement in building improvements, landscaping, security, and other activities is an aid to its growth. Getting churches involved in giving and going to help other churches to be revitalized through these measures will unify Christians in the business of soul winning, baptizing, and discipleship training unto useful service and leadership, fulfilling Jesus' final command.
Believers, and including even people around the area, they see the seriousness of that church in that area. I find that people are being encouraged much even to come even in so that they, let's go and see what really is going on.
Would you be a part of making things new in Uganda by helping us to rightly equip ourselves for these village assistance ministry projects? Revising the Luganda scriptures will help village pastors in their study of the Bible in order to reach people with the gospel and train them to serve the Lord. Revisiting the lost in soul winning will help churches fulfill Jesus' last command. Reviving a living hope among the saints in Uganda will encourage more churches to be involved in the Great Commission. And revitalizing local church sites will draw the interest of those seeking to see what God will do in their lives. Thank you for considering what you can do to help during our next term as we seek to revamp in Uganda.
Thank you for all that you've done to make those things possible and allow us to be where we are, doing what we're doing. You know, the missions is a lot of things, and it changes as according to the need. I mentioned a ministry of the gospel. When we went to Uganda, we didn't know
who was saved. We didn't see anyone saved that was there, and so we preached the gospel, and people began to get saved. And then you minister the Word, and you're a minister of the Spirit. You bring the Holy Spirit into people's lives, and you just now it's we see more of a ministry to the saints. If you'd look in your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. That phrase, ministry to the saints, or ministry of the saints, or minister to the saints, is used several times in the Scriptures. And one of those times is here in Hebrews chapter number 6. We'll read from the beginning of the chapter just to get the background, and then break down the ministry to the saints. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits." So he's speaking here to the saved people and how he wants them to grow and go to serve the Lord. Verse 4, though, he talks about those that never did get saved. Verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible," he says, "to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." So speaking here of those who get close to the gospel, those who draw near to the preaching, those who might visit the church for some time, and they taste of it, they get an idea about it, they hear the gospel, they know the gospel, but they reject it as the truth of salvation. They never receive Christ for themselves. The Bible gives us an example from nature, verse 7, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain," that's like hearing the gospel, being around Christians, "that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God." That's one who will receive the gospel and bear the fruit of the gospel, be saved, and live the Christian life. Verse 8, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." That's one who rejects the gospel, doesn't bring forth the fruit of the gospel. And so we're talking here about those that are saved, those that are not saved. And in verse number 9, he returns to those that are saved. He says, "But, beloved," now he's speaking here of those who have trusted Christ as Savior. He says, "We are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." When we minister to the saints, we see here, number one, that we show our love for God. He says it's a labor of love which you have showed toward his name. Number two, when we minister to the saints, we are assured of hope. He says in verse number 11, "Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." So we have an assurance of hope. We don't have any more of salvation than anyone else. We just have more assurance of it, more hope in it, and it does more in our lives. Thirdly, when we minister to the saints, we see that we inherit the promises given to us. Verse 12, "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So we inherit the promises given to us. A ministry to the saints. Missions is a ministry to the saints. Let's consider that tonight as we go through the message. And let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word that never changes. We're glad for salvation that you've offered us. And we're glad for the day that we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're glad for your Holy Spirit, whom we sang about tonight, and the fruit that he brings forth in our lives. Help us, Lord, as we consider missions being a ministry to the saints. And I pray you'd help each of us to get involved in that ministry in the way that you put before us, so that we can enjoy these blessings that we see will come from that. Bless tonight, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Number one, when we minister to the saints, we show our love for God. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We went to Uganda February 2000. I was invited to the village of Chisojo. You saw it referred to in the slide, in the presentation slides. You saw it in the presentation. And we went out and preached in Chisojo and saw many people get saved. And I started to work with a young man by the name of Robert. And before our first furlough, that young man broke into my office. He took some keys from another worker. He opened the safe in the office, took hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, I think it was. It was just all the money we had saved up, and we were going home on furlough. Our tickets were in there. He took everything, fled the country, went to the Netherlands. Boy, did I feel like a failure. I didn't want to go on furlough. I thought, oh, this is terrible. And so we went on furlough and came back, and with that in mind, I met another young man by the name of Charles. Now, you can imagine I was a bit guarded at that time. But I got to know him, and he was so good with people. And that made me a little more on edge, you know, and I thought, oh boy, what's happening here? But I got to know him. We worked together. We went out to the village. And in those first few years, I'd gone to a man's house. His wife had gotten saved, and her name was Christine, and she was on a cane and bent over, and she would walk like this, come to the vehicle, and we would give her a ride to church. Until one day, I went onto the porch of the house, and her husband came out. And he said, you people need to stop coming here. He said, I was born a Catholic, raised a Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. And you don't need to even be around here. Basically threatened me with violence and chased me off the porch. And so I left, and we told Christine, hey, follow your husband, and maybe you win him to Christ by your example. And so I was with Charles one day, years later, and we're driving down the road, and we passed that house. And he says, why don't you pull in here? I know these people. So I pulled in there, and I'm thinking, oh boy, the fireworks are coming. And I'm in the vehicle, and we get out, and we sit on a bench, and Christine comes out, and she's happy to see us. And then all of a sudden, her husband appears in the doorway. And he comes out with a gruff look on his face and stands at the porch. And then all of a sudden, I see he's got this cane, and he's feeling around in front of him. In the years that had passed, he had gone blind. And so he's feeling his way and comes out there, and real humble-like, and he sits down, and I just don't say a word. I just sit there and watch. And he started talking to Charles, and his face begins to light up. It turns out that Charles' grandfather and him, they were good friends. And so Charles talking to him, and I could tell, I didn't know the language as well at that time, and I could tell something's happening, though, and he's talking more and more, and the guy's getting more interested, and I began to understand he was giving him the gospel. And it turns out that man heard the gospel from this young man and trusted Christ as his Savior. And I stepped back and thought, wow, look what happened to me compared to what's happening here. I said, this young man can do something that I can't do. And that was a blessing. It was somewhere where I stood back and said, hey, I can minister to this young man as he ministers to others, as he wins people to Christ. And I can do more through him than probably I could do just trying to do it myself. And I began to get an idea, and it began to build in my mind. I told you about Sebioto and what he did, and that was his first church in Lucaya. He went to another village nearby there and started another work, and now he's gone down to Matukula, which is a town right on the border of Tanzania and Uganda. On one side of the street is Tanzania, the other side is Uganda, and different languages on either side of the street. But he's ministering in that place, and he's seeing the same thing happen. He's the one that you saw on the video who wants to do the translating work, and he talked about getting a translation from the King James. Now, we are using the scholarship of the King James translators to translate this Luganda Bible, but of course we're looking at the original language as well. But he's the one that's going to help us with that. Now, he's going to these works, and this is his third church that he's starting, and he wants to turn it over to another man and see him trained and go on to another place. And I look at that and say, if I minister to him and help pay his fuel bills, he gets up at 4 in the morning sometimes and gets on the bus and travels 2 hours to Matukula and spends the whole weekend there and then comes back and he's at work Monday morning in the office translating. I said, if I can minister to him, if I can help him as he ministers to others, I can accomplish a whole lot more than if I tried to go down there and do it myself.
And it began to work in my mind that way. To minister is to serve. To deliver to someone what is needed for them to continue their work. When we minister to the saints, we show our love for God. Secondly, we are assured of hope. Verse number 11 says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence," talking about ministering to the saints, serving the Lord together, "to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Now, if you look down in verse number 16, the Bible says for men, he's talking here about Abraham. God made promise to Abraham. In verse 16, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." The Baptist, the blood, the book, the blessed hope. The hope that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He's coming back for us, that He's going to establish His kingdom, and eternity with Him is coming. That's the blessed hope. He says if we will minister to the saints diligently, we will have assurance of that hope firm unto the end. Hold your finger here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Paul had hope. As he ministered to others, he had hope that they would get a hold of this thing of salvation and serving the Lord and ministering to the saints. And if they would get a hold of it, they would push him further in his ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 14, he says, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." As he ministered to them, his hope was that they would become established and help him to go further in the ministry. Brother Paul, that you saw on the video, the one you helped 6 years ago as you gave us a $500 offering to help buy that boat and engine. Paul was crippled by polio as a youngster, so he has to crawl on his hands and knees today as he gets around. And yet, coming on the van to church, as he grew in the Lord, as we ministered to him, and as Pastor Keith ministered to him and first reached him, as he grew in the Lord, he came to Bible college, and somebody got him a motorcycle that he could come to Bible college in, and he uses that thing. And then somebody helped him to go out to the prison ministry, and then eventually that led him to go out to those islands, the Sese Islands on Lake Victoria. And he gets onto the taxi, and that takes him to the ferry, and he gets off and gets on the ferry and goes out to the islands, and then gets on another taxi, goes down the island, and then that man, Mattia, comes and picks him up in the boat, goes the mile over to the other island where they base from and go to all these fishing villages. This is Paul, who people have to pick up and put him in the boat so that he can go across. He has to crawl up the hills on his hands and knees. He doesn't ask for any pity. He just says, "I want to go. God's called me to go and reach all 84 of those islands if I have time, if I'm able, whatever ability God gives me, I want to go." I look at that and say, what a testimony. His life preaches to me. And I say, if I can minister to him in some way, if I can give to him to pay his fuel bill and help him as he goes so that he can go further, I can do more through him than I could do by going to those islands myself. Ministry to the saints. It gives us hope that God is going to continue to work in people's lives. When we minister to the saints, back in Hebrews chapter number 6, we show our love for God, we are assured of hope, and thirdly, we inherit the promises given to us. Verse 12 says, "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Verse 13 continues, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by great... I'm sorry, verse number 15. And when... So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Ministry to the saints is what you do here every Sunday. It's singing in the choir. It's helping one another. It's teaching a Sunday school class. Whatever we are doing to serve the Lord, it's a ministry to the saints. But you're doing something beyond that. When you give to Faith Promise Missions, I want to let you know it's not in vain. You're ministering to the saints in Uganda, East Africa, and all around the world by the looks of the boards on in the hallway there. All around the world, you're delivering and sending to meet the necessities so that they can continue to do the work, and you're ministering to the saints around the world. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. We'll finish here. 2 Peter chapter number 1. In verse 3, Peter says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises," verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1, "that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And he says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Let me tell you, when we minister to the saints, we need all those things. And as we grow in our ministry, we need to add those things to what we're doing. And he says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." If we neglect that ministry, if we neglect to serve the Lord, there could come a time when we might forget that we were even saved. "Wherefore the rather," verse 10, "brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For his own entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You think about ministering to the saints. It shows our love for God. It assures us of hope. And we inherit the promises that are given to us in His Word. Before I left Uganda, Brother Sebioto said, "Pastor, would you please tell the people in America that we could use their help?" He said, I go to these places that I minister to, and I try to reach kids, and I have to do, you know, T-shirts and copies of coloring sheets and all these things. By the way, kids, there's coloring sheets in the back with a prayer card on top of them. You can feel free to take one of those. But they do those things in Uganda as well. And he said, "Would you ask them to pray for us? And would you remind them that when they give and support you, they are helping us in our ministry to reach people with the gospel?" I can't get away from that. So I want to remind people everywhere I go, the ministry to the saints, it goes on and on and on and on. And what you're doing here has eternal consequences. And you're helping people all around the world to reach others with the gospel. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With heads bowed and eyes closed. Obviously, there's been a ministry of the gospel here, and people have been saved in this place. Is there anyone tonight that would say, "Pray for me, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I've not received Christ as my Savior that I can remember, and I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Is there one that'd lift your hand and say, "Pray for me, that's my need tonight"? Is there just one? You'd lift your hand and say, "Pray for me, that's my need. I need to be saved. I need to receive Christ as my Savior." Now, in this evening service, I know there are many here who you already minister to the saints. You're active using your gifts to serve others. But I wonder if there's maybe a young person who would say, "I haven't understood it, but I've seen it tonight. And I want to surrender my life to serve the Lord. I want to be a minister to others. I want to minister to the saints. I want what you talked about." God just wants us to surrender. He wants us to give our lives to Him. Is there a young person tonight that would say, pray for me? That's my need. I need to surrender to God to serve Him in whatever way He wants me to serve. Pray for me about that. Is there a young person tonight that would say, that's my need. Pray for me. I want to surrender to serve the Lord. God bless you. Any others? I want to surrender to serve the Lord. Whatever ministry He has for me, I want to give Him my life to serve Him. God bless you. I see those hands. Young people around the room. I'm going to pray and we'll have an invitation and I'll turn the invitation over. God spoke to your heart tonight and you have a need. You come. Speak to Him about it. Father, we thank You for the time we've had together. We ask Your blessings on these who have raised their hands. We do ask that You'd help them in their surrender. And Lord, accept that sacrifice. You've made it acceptable by saving them and giving them Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You'd use them and guide them in a special way into that ministry, that service that You'd have for them. May You use that surrendered heart in a special way. I pray in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as the instruments play? God spoke to your heart and you need to come. Why don't you come tonight? Whatever He spoke to you about, come speak to Him. Say, Lord, I'll serve You. I'll minister. I'll take what I've been given and I'll deliver it to somebody else. The ministry of the saints.
Amen. If you'll look up here, one thing that he said over, or at least said several times, is I can do more through this person than I can do myself in that area. And this is definitely something that we can do. We can do more through him in Uganda than you and I can do ourselves. And one way that we do that is by giving financially, is by giving to missions, is by giving so somebody else can go. And so what a blessing it is that we were able to hear that tonight. And he said it, they can use our help. They can use our help. They can use it by us supporting him so he can support them. And that was outstanding. Thank you so much for that, Brother Peterson.